araw ngayon ng mga puso. At karaniwan na ang nagpo-promote niyan siyempre ay yung mga kikita at makikinabang. Karaniwan na yung puso ay ina-associate sa emosyon. Alam niyo sa Hebrew, pagdating sa emotion, it's not puso ang ginagamit. In fact, in the Hebrew language, it's the liver, ang seat of emotion. But ayaw naman natin sabihin ngayon na araw ng mga atay. So, ngayon ay ginagamit natin itong buwan na ito to speak of compassion. Do you know that of all the emotional states that Jesus was said to have experienced, nothing is more frequent in the Gospels than that he was moved with compassion. Yan ang pinakamaraming ulit na sinabi sa naramdaman ng Panginoon para sa mga tao. He was moved with compassion for the crowd. He was moved with compassion, as we saw last week, for the leper. He was moved with compassion sa iba't ibang mga pagkakataon na naramdaman niya yung habag na yon para sa mga tao. At magandang gamitin natin ang bagay na yan sa ganitong mga pagkakataon. We need compassion to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Inaawit nga natin kanina, the Lord lifted us with tenderness. Eh, yan yung dapat naman natin gawin sa mga nangangailangan sa ating kapanahunan. We saw that last week in the case of lepers. And though we may not be able to encounter actual lepers because they are less and less numerous in our time, gayunman may mga equivalent sa atin, nabanggit nga yung mga taong grasa at yung mga iba't iba pang nasa lipunan natin na karaniwan nating lalayuan, eh meron tayo dapat yung compassion where Jesus touched the leper. It was unconventional, even unthinkable, yet He did out of compassion. So what we would not normally do, yung hindi natin gagawin sa normal na pagkakataon, yung compassion, yung kahabagan ang magpapakilos sa atin. Ngayon tingnan natin ito sa isa pang usapin o isa pang uri na hindi nalalaman ng marami siguro, ngunit alam natin yan, ay naapi. Aping uri sa mahabang panahon ng kasaysayan. At ito ay ang mga kababaihan. Oppression of women is a predominant fact of history. All you have to do is read history. At makikita mo yan na karaniwan ang mga kumikilos sa kasaysayan ay mga kalalakihan. Parang sila lang nagpapakilos ng kasaysayan because the story moves on men. Because the writers are men. And the role players mostly are men. And what is hidden many times is the fact that women were oppressed in a pit. Ang mga kababaihan. At hindi lang yan sa kasaysayan, marami pa rin mga lipunan ngayon na ganyan pa rin ang trato sa mga kababaihan. Eh, ang mga kababaihan sa Saudi Arabia, hindi pa rin pwede magmaneho ng sarili nilang sasakyan. At marami pang ganyang lipunan na bawal pa yung mga normal na nating tinatanggap na ginagawa ng mga kababaihan ngayon sa mga malayang lipunan. Bawal pa rin sa maraming lipunan, kaya hindi lang to sa kasaysayan, hanggang sa ating kapanahunan, andyan pa rin ang pangaapi sa mga kababaihan. Karaniwan, ang ginagawa ay tinitingnan ng babae sa ng mababang uri. Bakit siya tinitingnan ng mababang uri? Well, kung gamitin natin yung kanilang, alam nyo yung symbol na yan sa men, ay the shield and spear of Mars. Ito naman ay mirror of Venus. Kaya ang mga babae associated with mirror, ang mga lalaki sa gyera. Well, ganyan yung karaniwang association. So why are women treated as inferior? Well, sometimes for arguments na physical. Sasabihin na lang, mas malakas obvious na mas malakas ang lalaki. Ay, kung sasabihin natin palakasan in terms ng pagbubuhat, ng mga mabibigat na bagay, o siguro suntukan, maaaring mas malakas ang lalaki. Pero look at it from another perspective, it is a fact too that women have a larger stronghold of pain. Ibig sabihin, mas kaya ng babae ang pain kaysa sa lalaki. E kita yan sa the fact that they labor sa panganganak. Yung lalaki siguro, kapag umabot na sa ganito yung pain, patay na. Yung lalaki, doble pa niyan. Ay, yung babae, doble pa niyan. So, ibig sabihin, kahit na physically, parang mas malakas ang lalaki, ay, in another way of looking at it, eh, may taglay rin kalakasan ng babae na hindi kaya ng lalaki. Kaya huwag nating gamitin yung argument na physical o yung ginagawa ng iba ay in terms ng emotional. Ano nyo, madalas kong marinig to even among Christians. And lalong kumukulili yung tenga ko pag narinig ko to sa isang Reformed Baptist preacher. Pero narinig ko yan. Narinig ko ilang ulit yung argument na men are stronger emotionally. And because of that, women are weaker. Women are inferior. And again, it's only looking at it from one perspective. Siguro kung sa iyakan, mas madaling umiyak ang babae in terms ng emotion. But again, records show, ipinapakita ng pag-aaral na yung naiwanan ng asawa ay mas madaling mamatay yung lalaki kaysa sa babae. Yung sabihin, loneliness is more difficult for a man to bear than for a woman. And that shows again na yung emotional weakness na sinasabi, it's just one way of looking at it. Kaya my point here is never accept arguments that are premised on the inferiority of women. Kayo mga kababaihan, huwag nyo rin tanggapin yan. Na sabing you are weaker physically, you are weaker or inferior intellectually or emotionally, I don't accept that. Don't accept it. The Bible clearly teaches the equality of men and women in nature, in sin, and in grace. Ang mga lalaki at babae ay magkapantay sa kalikasan, sa kasalanan, at sa biyaya ng Diyos. At huwag nating tanggapin yung superiority ng lalaki sa babae. At syempre, hindi rin tayo naniniwala na superior yung babae sa lalaki. At dahil may mga relasyon namang ganyang bugbog sarado yung lalaki sa kamay ng babae, hindi rin natin tatanggapin yan. The Bible maintains male-female equality, but take note, equality does not mean interchangeability. Ito naman yung ipaglaban natin. Magkapantay, pero hindi magkapalit. May magkaiba silang role. Pagdating na sa iglesia, pagdating sa sangbahayan, may binigyan ng pagka-liderato at ito ang kalalakian. Hindi dahil sa siya'y mas magaling o siya'y superior sa babae, kundi ayon lang sa panawagan ng Diyos. Alam niyo kung gagawin natin ito na on a case-by-case basis, lalong magkakagulo, lalong chaotic. Ang mangyayari niyan, titingnan, sino bang mas malakas na personalidad? Siya na ang ulo ng tahanan o ulo ng iglesia. We don't take it that way. We take it in terms of God's vocation, yung panawagan ng Diyos. Kaya pagdating sa pakikipaglaban sa pagkakapantay ng mga kababaihan, makikita natin yung dalawang maari nating kahulugan na peligro na dapat balansehin natin. Yung una ay yung madalas na mangyari, the oppression of women, pang-aapi sa mga kababaihan. Yung ikalawa ay yun namang pagpipilit ng pagkakapalit ng lalaki at babae. And both are wrong. And it will be illustrated by the two cases I shall show this morning. Sa dalawang kaso na ito, magkabilang yan ang pinaglaban nila. Una, sa kaso ni Pandita Ramabay, ay isang babae na lumaban sa pang-aapi ng mga kababaihan. And on the other hand is Elizabeth Elliot na nilabanan naman ang pagsulong ng feminismo sa ating panahon. So these are the two cases I shall show, but I just want to say na nakakalungkot na malimit yung pag-aapi sa mga kababaihan ay itinaguyod na ginagamit yung mga argumentong Kristiyano. I have heard that so often and it really saddens me, it grieves me, also it angers me in a way because ginagamit ang Biblia sa napakamaling paraan. Huwag nating hayaan na mangyari iyan. So I want to tell you very short, two short stories of women who fought for their co-gender, yung mga kababaihan. The first is someone whose name will not be known outside of India. But in fact, ay nagkaroon siya ng impluensya outside of it. But of course, yung concentration ng kanyang vocation ay sa India. Siya si Pandita Ramabai, born in 1858, born in Maharashtra, India. Ang kanyang ama ay isang intelektual na Brahmin. Ito isang class sa mga India, sa mga Hindu. Kaya bilang intellectual ay pinag-aral itong si Pandita Ramabai. So at a young age, she already exhibited a reformer's heart for the cause of women in India. Etong sinabi niya, it's in your handout. I am the child of a man who had to suffer on account of advocating female education. I consider it my duty to the end of my life to maintain this cause in this land. So sa maagang panahon pa lang, ay hinubog na sa kanya ng kanyang ama yung kapantayan ng mga kababaihan, at maaga pa lang ay nasa puso na niya yung bagay na yon. So this was even before her conversion to the Christian faith, yung kanyang pakikipaglaban para sa mga kababaihan. Ay ano bang nangyayari dito sa India? Nung panahon niya, in her time, although widow burning was outlawed in 1828, that's about 30 years before she was born, yet the practice was still widespread during her time. Ano yung widow burning? Dahil ang tingin sa asawa ay yung buhay niya ay para lang sa asawa niya, wala siyang independent existence, wala siyang independent purpose. Kapag namatay na yung asawang lalaki, eh pag sinunog na, ganun karaniwan ng paglibing sa mga Hindu, ay cremation, eh isinasama na yung widow. Parang yung panahon ng mga Pharaoh, kapag ililibing yung Pharaoh, ay isasama rin yung asawa para samahan siya sa kabilang buhay. Eh ganun sa Hindu rin. Wala siyang independent existence. So even though it was outlawed in 1828, yet the practice was still very widespread. Widow burning. Isipin niyo yun. Tanggap ko yung cremation as a means of burial. Pero buhay pa tong widow na to. Isasama mo sa isusunugin. Napakalupit nun. Pero the philosophy behind it is that women, wives, have no independent existence of their own. Once the husband is dead, she has no longer any right to exist. And what a cruel idea. Hindi lang yan, karaniwan din sa panahon ng ito sa India, at ito'y ginagawa pa rin, ay yung batang-batang babae pa lang, young girl, ay ina-arrange na sa marriage. Kuminsan, pinapakasal na. Ay, isipin niyo yung mga batang narito, naka-arrange na, may asawa na, kaya ipapakasal na. And again, it's a cruel practice, pero yan ang ginagawa nung panahon na yun. At karaniwan din na hindi pinag-aaral ang mga kababaihan. Bihirang-bihira nung panahong ito na ang mga babae na may gulang na ay marunong bumasa o sumulat. They were illiterate. Very common, yung illiteracy among women in India, because again, they were not educated. For what reason? Eh, para lang naman sila sa asawa nila. And that's the philosophy dito sa India. And of course, there was widespread sexual exploitation, a perennial form of oppression of women. Now, itong si Pandita Ramabai, lumaki na humarap sa maraming kabigatan ng buhay. For example, in the famine in India of 1874 to 76, her whole family except a brother perished. Yung buong pamilya niya, ang natira yung kapatid niyang lalaki, ay namatay nung panahon ng taggutom, 1874 to 76. And she married a Bengali lawyer who died 6 months after a daughter was born. Hindi na siya nag-asawa after that. So practically, you have a 6-month baby all by yourself. You're a single mother practically. And that was what Pandita Ramabai was. Pero dun sa anak niya ay ginawa niya yung ginawa ng tatay niya sa kanya. Pinag-aral, tinuruan, binigyan ng lahat ng maibibigay para hindi siya lumaking exploited sa lipunan. Pandita Ramabai, because she could read a lot. And one thing that she experienced in her reading was disillusionment. Nagbabasa siya ng mga teksto ng mga Hindu scriptures and Hindu manuscripts. And she was disillusioned because in the religious texts that she read, they indicated that women had no souls nor any place in eternity. And it was at this time that she read the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John, At dito rin nagkaroon ng isang witness sa kanya na isang dating Brahmin na naging Kristiyano at siya'y Bible study. At itong sinabi niya na sa inyong handout, I realized, she said, after reading the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. So yan yung ginamit kong fourth chapter. Anong nangyari niya sa fourth chapter? Kausap ni Jesus ang isang Samaritan woman. Tandaan niyo, nung panahon na yon, a Jew would not talk to a Samaritan. But not only that, a rabbi was not supposed to talk to a woman in public. Not even kahit yung wife niya ay dapat nasa likuran lang niya kung maglalakad. At yung rabbi noon, may daily prayer siya of thanksgiving. Yung kanyang daily prayer of thanksgiving, sabi niya, thank you Yahweh that you have not made me a Gentile, an animal, or a woman. Yan, totoo po yan. Yan ang daily thanksgiving ng isang rabbi. So, you can imagine the mentality. And here was a rabbi, Jesus, talking to a woman. Kaya nga, when his disciples came, they were so surprised, not so much na being a Jew, he was talking to a Samaritan. That was in itself surprising. But even more surprising was that he was a rabbi, is talking to a woman. Eh, yung binasa yan ni Pandita Ramabai, laking gulat niya. Ang sabi niya, after reading the fourth chapter of Saint John's Gospel, that Christ was truly the divine Savior he claimed to be. And no one but he could transform and uplift the downtrodden women in India. I was hungry for something better. I found it in the Christian Bible and was satisfied. So yan yung sinabi ni Pandita Ramabai because of her reading of the scriptures. Then later on, she received a scholarship to study in England. At dito nga, nag-aral siya sa Inglaterra. At dito, siya ay na-convert. Tandaan nyo, sa India pa lang, ay andun na yung influence sa kanya ng Bible study niya at yung pagbabasa niya ng scripture. And in England, this was completed by conversion. Na-convert siya while in England studying. And so, nagkaroon siya ng opportunity to travel elsewhere, including in the United States, which of course was a very enriching experience. But even then, she always knew she had to come back to India. That was her place. Marami ngayon pag nakatapak na sa Western country, ang kanilang papaniwala ay dito na sila tinatawag ng Diyos. Marami akong ganyang experience na mag-aaral lang sa US, mag-aaral sa England para lang maka-enrich ng experience, pero babalik daw ng Pilipinas. Nung makatuntong na sa sarap ng England, ng US, ng Europe, bigla sila nagkaroon ng panawagan ng Diyos doon. Well, hindi ko naman kikwestiyon ninyo, nagtataka lang ako. Why there when the need is here? Pero etong si Pandita Ramabai, even though she was traveling a lot, her heart was committed to return to India. At yun ang kanyang hangarin at yun ang kanyang ginawa. Habang siya ay nagta-travel, she raised funds. She wrote a book that became very influential, The High Caste Hindu Woman. And so through that book, and also through lecture tours, ay nakaipon siya ng sapat na pananalapi. And so she returned to India. She founded the Sharada Sadan, meaning Home of Learning, in Pune, India. This was in 1889. So meron na siya doon sa Pune, India, pero nakaroon ng problema. Well, it should not be a problem, but one of her wards was converted. Remember, this was a Hindu society, largely Hindu. At may naging Kristiyano na from a Hindu family. So ang nangyari ay nagkaroon ng outcry. Yung Hindu society, nagkaroon ng outcry against the Sharada Sadan of Pandita Ramabai. And she was forced to transfer. Nag-relocate siya sa isang lugar na ang description noon ay wilderness. Walang tubig, sa wilderness. Yet she was forced to relocate doon sa lugar na ang tawag ay Kedgaon, and called her mission, and this will be the name this mission would carry from then on, Mukti. Mukti means liberty. So it's a Mukti school. Yung mga kababaihan na rejected ng lipunan ay tinatanggap niya roon, ninurture, tinuturuan. And not only that, not satisfied with that, in 1895, she disguised as a sannyasini, meaning a female beggar, and traveled on foot on the mission of rescuing sexually exploited women. And in fact, in doing this, it nearly cost her life. May mga humabol sa kanya. But you can see her commitment na para makapagligtas ng mga naapi and the sexually exploited. She nurtured them in her mukti. And in fact, the graduates, quote-unquote, of her mukti later became literate and skilled. Many, in fact, earned professions as teachers, even doctors. Some even went abroad. Kaya yung mga dating mga api sa lipunan ay napag-aral niya, na itaguyod niya sa kanyang, dahil sa kanyang commitment. And Ramabai died in 1922, having just finished translating the Bible into the local dialect. So you can see what was the major influence on her life sa kanyang commitment na itaguyod ang simulain ng mga kababaihan. One historian said, and it's on your handout, said, Pandita Ramabai Sarawati was the greatest woman produced by modern India, and one of the greatest Indians in all of history. Her achievements as a champion of women's rights remain unrivaled even after the lapse of a century. And then another historian said, in Robert Frank Kinberg, a Christian historian, Ramabai believed that since all have been made by God and can be redeemed through Christ, no human being should be oppressed or excluded from the blessings of liberty. Reactionary forces could neither crush her spirit nor defeat her mission. Indeed, she often declared everything she accomplished had been made possible by the mukti, that is liberty, she had found in the Lord, to whom she turned for strength. So this is an inspiring story of a woman we probably never heard of outside of India. Dun siya kilala, pero yan yung kanyang achievement. She fought for women and she fought against oppression of women. Now let me introduce you to a second fighter for women, but on the other point, and that is Elizabeth Howard Elliot. I'm sure some of you use her writings, her books. I have several of her books. Born in 1926, still alive, 83 years old now, born in Belgium. Now, Elizabeth Elliot came to renown because of her husband, Jim Elliot. Itong si Jim Elliot ay missionary. So, nung sila yung mag-asawa, nagpunta silang pareho sa Ecuador. And Jim Elliot's heart burned in compassion for a tribe of Indians in Ecuador known then as Oka Indians. Ang tawag na sa kanila ngayon ay the Huarani Indians of Ecuador. So, itong ninurture niya, missionary na siya sa Ecuador, pero talagang gusto niyang pumunta dito sa Oka Indians. He was warned repeatedly that those were wild headhunters. But he remained committed anyway. And so, at last, nung nagkaroon na ng pagkakataon, lima sila na gumamit ng eroplanong para pumunta sa Oka Indians. They went there Friday, and then on Sunday, they were all speared to death. Limang missionaries speared to death. And of course, nabalita yan, malaking balita yan ng panahong yon. And so, Elizabeth Elliot was left a grieving widow. Now, just imagine, what do you think a grieving widow would do? Her husband killed by Indians whom he was supposed to serve. A lesser mortal would have been embittered by that experience, not Elizabeth Elliot. When she had the opportunity, can you imagine, she went to the Oka Indians and served them for 2 years as a missionary, and some of the killers ng kanyang husband ay na-convert. And merong old film clip na napanood ko kung saan ginugupitan niya yung isa sa mga killers ng kanyang husband na na-convert na. I mean, that's a story that will have to overwhelm you. Yung story of love overcoming bitterness, compassion overcoming hatred, and serving for the sake of the gospel. Well, yan si Elizabeth Elliot. At nung siya ay umuwi na ng US, she wrote many books, became a speaker in demand, and one of her favorite topics is on the dignity of biblical womanhood. While she was fighting against oppression, she saw the need to fight another battle when it came to women. Because during her time, na-reverse na yung oppression ng women, natatanggap na sila equal, pero pumupunta sa kabila. Dito na pumapasok yung feminism. Feminism asserts that men and women are so equal that their roles are interchangeable. Whatever men can do, women should be allowed to do. And so, dyan na pumasok women pastors, preachers, and etc. Well, Elliot saw the need to fight that battle against feminism. So marami sa kanyang mga book ay may ganyang topic. Her most decisive statement was written in 1977, "Let me be a woman." It was written for her daughter Valerie, na ikakasal na noon, at series ito ng mga counsels niya sa kanyang anak. And in that series of counsels ay nandun yung pangahawakan niya na women are equal of men but with a distinct vocation in comparison to men. Ito yung kanyang sinabi at nasa inyong handout. "For years I have watched with growing dismay, even anguish, what has been happening in our society, in our educational system, in our churches, in our homes, and on the deepest level of personality, as a result of a movement called feminism, a movement that gives a great deal of consideration to something called personhood, but very little to womanhood, and hardly a nod to femininity." No, don't get her wrong. Madiin siya sa pagiging feminine, but don't imagine na yung kanyang pagiging feminine ay mainhin, na hindi makabasag pinggan. Remember, she spent 2 years with the Oka Indians. And yung nirelate niya, yung mga experience niya ron, some of the women here would probably cringe. But she did. So, cowboy itong babaeng to. Pero, pinaglaban niya that women should be womanly. The female gender should be feminine. And that means a distinct vocation para sa kanila. So, from these two stories, makikita natin what we need to maintain in balance. On the one hand, let's fight against oppression of women. Hindi sila dapat apihin. Dapat itaas yung kanilang antas sa lipunan kung ito'y binababa. At kuminsan, same work, but men are paid higher just because the counterpart ay women. That's injustice. Hindi dapat ganoon. Dapat ay pantay. But on the other hand, while pinaglalaban natin kapantayan ng lalaki at babae, hindi ibig sabihin na pwedeng pagpalitin yung kanilang vocation, especially when we are talking about the covenant community of the home or the church. In the home and in the church, we should see the distinct vocations of men and women. So let us conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. Doon nga sa story ng Samaritan woman, makikita natin dyan, he respected the individuality and the instrumentality of women. Women were prominent in the life of Jesus, starting with his mother, Mary. Then marami pang women sa story ni Jesus sa Gospels. Magdalene, Mary and Martha of Bethany, and many others. And he reversed the oppressive custom on women during his time. Nakita nga natin na sa rabbi, hindi niya tinanggap yung convention na layuan ng mga babae, parang pandirihan, hindi niya ginawa yun. He talked to the Samaritan woman in public, and that is something that we need to emulate sa ating kultura one thing that we should learn here is not just women in particular. Last week, we saw that compassion is moved to reach out to the outcast of society like lepers. Here, we should learn that compassion fights for the oppressed in society. And compassion should be able to exercise counterculture. Labanan natin ang maling kultura sa sino mang naapi sa lipunan, kababaihan man yan, o ibang uri. Yan ang compassion. Compassion is moved to fight for the oppressed. Any question? Anything you'd like to clarify? Any experience of dealing with women as oppressed or with the issue of feminism? Okay, any question? Any thought you would like to share? Tito Ike.
Well, as far as the rights of women in the Philippines is concerned, I think we are more advanced than other countries because we have now the program of GAD, Gender and Development. And in fact, in the government offices, there is even in the appropriation 5% for the to fund activities for the program of gender and development. Also, the Philippines, we have a woman as president. In Laguna, we have a woman as governor. What I is surprising so far, as Christianity is concerned, the women are still, in my opinion, are still relegated to the background. There are no women as priests. Walang paring mga babae. Even here, wala pa akong narinig na pastor na babae.
Marami na po.
Even in our service, I've been here for 2 years now, wala akong nakitang babae na magsasalita tungkol sa Biblia. And I think we are not, hindi natin masasabi na yung mga lalaki ay, mga babae dito ay mas inferior sila sa intelligence sa Bible. Hindi I see there are women here who are intelligent. Bakit hindi natin bigyan sila ng pagkakataon? Also, in accordance with the principle that we are discussing now, na siguro baka, as far as convincing and persuasion is concerned, I think women are much or better, if not equal, with the men as far as preaching is concerned. Thank you.
Okay, salamat po sa information tungkol sa mga laws na umiiral na sa Pilipinas para sa interest ng mga kababaihan. That's a good thing. And I have nothing against women president, women governors, women who are in leadership in nations, government, commerce, and many other organizations. One woman I admire, or two women in particular I admire for leadership in their nations. Margaret Thatcher of England and Golda Meir of Israel during the Yom Kippur War. So, hinahangaan ko po yung mga babaeng yan. Now, yung mga walang babaeng priest, unang-una po, dapat walang priest. Hindi lang sa wala dapat babaeng priest, kundi walang priest in the sense na meron pa ngayong mga namamagitang tao sa Diyos at sa mga makasalanan. So, the question there is not women priest, the question is entirely the priesthood is wrong on biblical grounds. Now, why no women pastors here in our church? Now, by the way, there are no women pastors, a lot of them. But is that legitimate? Well, if we follow the biblical teaching, it's very clear na yung mga kababaihan at mga kalalakihan ay binigyan ng magkaibang panawagan. They are given different vocations as far as leadership in the home or in the church is concerned. And it's clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that women are not given the vocation of leadership in the church. Now, that doesn't make them inferior. It only means they're different. We are different as far as vocations are concerned. So we believe in the ministry of women, and women here in our church are very useful, very productive sa mga gawain ng iglesia. This church will not move on without the work of women in our church. So that much is appreciated. But it still means, yan ang pinaglalaban ni Elizabeth Elliot, na isang babaeng nakipaglaban sa dignity ng women, but that did not make her fall into the other chasm of feminism. So we advocate the equality of women, but it doesn't mean that women can just be as men in all aspects. Just as men cannot be women in all aspects. So kumbaga pareho lang po iyon, na may mga bagay na para sa babae hindi gagawin ng lalaki, hindi ibig sabihin na unequal ang lalaki o mas mababa. Ganun din, may mga binigay sa lalaki na hindi pinapagawa sa babae sa larangan ng iglesia at larangan ng sangbahayan, hindi dahil sa inferior ang babae, kundi may ibang panawagan. So we will follow scriptures on that, which is very explicit. Other questions? Other thoughts? Jim?
Pastor, observation. I believe in our own society, I believe na ang ating what we have to fight for is what Elizabeth Elliot is fighting for. It's for biblical feminism in our society. That's just an observation. Sa tingin ko, mas problematic tayo dun sa women power than the lack of it. I believe na those cases where women are oppressed, in some cases, they are actually willing victims. Parang ganun din yung nakikita ko. Kasi kitang-kita dito na talagang ang mga babae are very vocal, we are not stopped when we talk. But in other society, hindi pwedeng mangyari yon. Pero dito sa Pilipinas, sa tingin ko nga, parang very strong nga yung women dito. In fact, wala na. So super strong pa ang mga women. So I don't know, it's an observation. I'm not saying that I'm correct. Tingin ko lang may ganun yung ating society, the Philippine society or this context, and therefore the fight is more like we can identify more with the fight of Elizabeth Elliot than the fight of Pandita Ramabai.
I agree. One problem we have, I think we're not so much dun sa oppressing women. Problem we have in our politics are women who are too assertive. too assertive, andyan maya-maya complaints, speak against, sometimes I just feel I have enough of it. Kapag babasahin yung mga balita, too much of assertiveness is a problem in society. Other questions, other thoughts? Hindi naman bawal na humalal ka ng mga babaeng mamumuno, senador. Hindi ko na sabi yung presidente. Isa lang pala yung babae ron. So, pwede ka humalal ng mga ganyang posisyon, pero based on competence and other things. Yes, Myla.
Gusto ko lang i-mention na yung isang positive sign ng feminism, for one, is yung pwedeng magsalita ang babae. Yung pagboto rin ng mga babae na nai-enjoy ngayon, hindi ko sinasabing magaling nang bumoto ang mga Pilipinong babae. Yun ang kasamang maganda ng feminism nung araw. Although, yun nga na-mention dito na may kakabit ito na unbiblical na mga prinsipyo, yung pwedeng magbaliktad na sa kahit saan. Pwede namang equal pa rin sa trabaho. Halimbawa, parehong pwedeng magluto. Pwedeng parehong teacher. Medyo okay din naman na parehong engineer. Pero yung role nga sa bahay at sa church, ang mahirap medyo pag-rambol-rambulin. At isang kinakalungkot ko din, napasobra naman yung pagsasalita ng mga babae. Kasi dati talaga, pag nandiyan ang mga tao, nandiyan ang mga lalaki, hindi pwedeng magsalita yung babae. Minsan nga, kahit sila na lang mag-asawa, hindi rin siya pwedeng magsalita, which is very sad. Pero ngayon, napasobra yung, parang kagaya din ng sinasabi ni Ate G, napasobra naman kahit sa Philippines. Ang isang pumapasok sa mind ko ay yung kapatid ng isang kandidato sa pagkapangulo. na parang pag nagsalita siya, palakpakan yung mga tao kay mahirap, kay mayaman, kay edukado, na sasabihin niya na yung kasalanan ng kanyang partner na pinasok naman niya. Yung mga pinapalakpakan yung mga ganong maling pagsasalita dahil ang parang pinipraise ngayon ay pag outspoken ka, pag totoo yan sabihin mo, which is still very wrong. So, minsan nagkakamali na rin ang mga tao, kahit ang Kristiyano, na napapalakpak na rin sila sa mga babae na gano'n.
Parang kilala ko yung sinasabi mo. Nasabi nila, sige po ay galing at talino. Si Villar ay sipag at yaga. Yung isa ay si Daddy at Mommy. So, again, like Jane and Myla said, talagang pwede tayong lumampas doon sa we want women to talk, contribute, but sometimes the problem is they become too assertive, and when they become too assertive, may iba nang sinasabi ang Biblia tungkol riyan doon sa Book of Proverbs about a woman who nags, who is contentious. There is something... of course, contentiousness is ugly, whether man or woman, but the Book of Proverbs tells us that there is something especially negative when it is a woman who becomes contentious. And we want to avoid that. Other questions? Other thoughts? Tito Ike po.
More on, I think we have, there is inequality now, dihado na ang mga lalaki sapagkat the law, which is the violence against women and children, pag sinaktan ng lalaki ang babae, mabigat ang parusa. Pero ang babae, nasaktan niya yung kanyang asawa, hindi timbang eh. So, I think there must be a law also against for battered husband. Mayroon na tayo battered wife. Kaya iyan ay very unfair. So, sobra na ang superiority ng mga babae dito sa Pilipinas.
Well, totoo po yun. In fact, it's not a theory. I had a case of counseling outside a church of a man, a husband, na sinakta ng kanyang asawa, talagang nagiging threat yung asawa niya sa kanya. And, you know, on a particular evening, it was a real, he felt that it was a threat on his life. So, he asked me whether magsumbong sa batas. I restrained him. Sabi ko, huwag, hindi ka paniniwalaan. Pero tumuloy pa rin siya. At ganun nga ang nangyari. Hindi siya mapaniwalaan, ayaw siya tanggapin. Although it was true, I know of the case very specifically, pero hindi tinatanggap yung kanyang sumbong eh, dahil nga lalaki siya. So there is always pagkiling pagdating sa battering, may pagkiling dun sa kampihan ng babae kaysa lalaki. Kaya kayong mga lalaki, huwag kayong pabugbog. Huwag kayong mambugbog, pero huwag kayong pabugbog. Other questions? Glenn.
May nalala ko lang nung isang tradisyon sa Pilipino ay especially kung ikakasal ka. Maraming nag-advise daw na pag lumabas ka simbahan, maunang ikaw unang tatapak ba o ano ba 'yon? O kaya very kahit sa ating culture ay very real pa rin yung kung sinong nagli-lead sa bahay. Kaya kung sinong naunang lumabas sa simbahan or sinong tumapak sa paa, siya yung magli-lead. Kaya marami sa sinasabi ko daw sa mga kabataan tsaka yung mga hindi pa nakakaalam na talagang may rule ang may design rule na hindi yung pinakamatalino kung sinong nakaapak ay siya yung mamumuna sa iglesia. Sana'y mawala sa ating culture yung tradisyon.
Well, hindi ko alam yung culture na yun, but kung may mga ganyang culture, ay hindi natin tinatanggap yung mga pamahiin na ganyan. Doon sa panahon ni Pandita Ramabai sa India, kapag may kasalan, it's the woman's party who paid the dowry to the man. Parang may utang na loob yung babae na siya pakakasalan. Kaya we should reject these practices. Myla.
Naalala ko lang i-mention, kasi back in Nigeria, ang mga close friends namin, medyo marami sila, ay mga taga-India. So isang interesting discussion lagi namin ay tungkol dito sa arranged marriage. And apparently, ay marami rin, maraming failure, pero marami ding magagandang kwento kung properly ginawa yung arranged marriage. And I also have happened to speak to some Christians na positive din yung kanilang pagtingin sa arranged marriage. So, I think hindi naman totally i-condemn yung ganong practice. Siguro ay kung paano rin ginagawa yon.
Well, concerning arranged marriage, I go on the balance first, there should be parental consent, but it should be the free, voluntary choice of the one getting into marriage. Kumbaga, hindi natin, if it's a puwera yung magulang, dapat kunin yung kanilang pagsang-ayon at yung kanilang pagpayo. On the other hand, it's the free choice of the person. And especially pinag-usapan natin yung woman, the woman should have her choice. 1 Corinthians 7:39, tungkol sa isang mag-aasawa, ang sabi ay she is free to marry whom she chooses, whom she prefers, but in the Lord. So yung ginawang boundary is it should be in the Lord, meaning a believer, pero she is free. So woman in particular, yung kaso doon, she is free to marry whom she chooses. So let it be the choice of the person, although the parents' advice should be sought. Jean.
Pastor, follow up lang dun sa sinabi ko kanina na I can identify more with the cause of Elizabeth Elliot. Kasi I'm thinking of what would be the practical means to do it. Kasi in my place of work, I mentioned about yung biblical feminism and all. And they found me very strange. Kasi nga, being an administrator, one of the administrators in the university, hindi nila ma-imagine na manggagaling yung ganong idea. So parang nagulat din ako at nalungkot because I was thinking, so talagang grabe na pala in this context, yung pananaw na dapat ay interchangeable yung role ng men and women. So now my question, what could be the practical ways? Kasi ako na, parang nag-clam up na rin ako afterwards kasi inisip ko na ano ba yung, paano nga ba ang gagawin to it's katulad, of course, Elliot was able to write a book and it's circulating sa maraming places. Pero in our own small ways, ordinary people, paano ma-espouse yung biblical feminism?
Well, of course, the most basic is believe it and practice it, which means, among other things, avoid contentiousness, while at the same time, naniniwala ako na walang mali sa mga kababaihan na magkaroon ng liderato, administration, and otherwise. But yung isang pinupunto ni Elliot sa kanyang mga sulat ay instead of being contentiously assertive, femininity means a woman should be affirmative. And she's yung seeking to be affirmative of others. And that's something that would be a good ministry ng mga kababayan sa on a day-to-day basis, na instead na palaban palagi, ay you try to affirm where you could affirm without being pushed back na ma-oppress. But Elizabeth Elliot is a very eloquent spokesperson on that point. By the way, her Facebook page is accessible. At meron siyang daily feed doon na kung gusto niyong mabasa. Other thoughts, Myla?
May gusto lang akong i-share. May binabasa kaming book ni Glenn tungkol sa... Anong title nun, Papa? Para kay Buboy. Sorry, medyo mahina ang memory na. Nagbabasa kami ng libro kung paano mag-raise ng boy. Sabi ng author, hindi ko rin maalala pangalan ng author, sorry ah. Kakabit daw nitong pagpasok ng feminism. At siyempre, parang binigyan ng lakas yung mga babae. In some way, siyempre, medyo na-weaken yung mga lalaki. At dyan na pumasok yung lumakas at dumami yung homosexuality. And I think I agree with him. Parang kakabit na consequence yun ng maling feminism. Yung mali lang ha, kasi may side ang feminism na maganda.
Well, that's one influence siguro, but homosexuality based on studies and both Christian and yung mga non-Christian, they say that the major cause is the defective relationship of the child to the parent of the same sex. Meaning, yung babae will have the tendency to lesbian, hindi ko sinasabing magiging, but the tendency will be there for a girl to become lesbian if she has a defective relationship to the mother. And the boy will have a tendency to homosexuality if he has a defective relationship to the father. So, yun ang mas major cause, parent-child relationship. Yes, Esther.
Nung po kasing high school ako, may teacher ako na medyo feminist siya. Tapos, syempre nung time yun, hindi pa po ako Christian. Tapos, pinagtataka ko po yung paano yung female na nakapag-aral, nakapag-college, tapos may trabaho siya. Tapos kapag nag-asawa siya, kailangan niyang i-give up yung work niya para ano maging housewife.
Well, not necessarily. Hindi naman kailangan na give up yung work, but some will be called to do that. I don't advocate a position that the woman should give up her career to be a housewife. What I advocate is that the woman should prioritize the home. Now, for some women, they cannot do that without giving up their career. Well, they should. Other women can still prioritize the home without giving up their career. And I've seen women do that. So it will be, ang tamang prinsipyo ay ang babae, kapag nag-asawa at lalo't nagkaanak, priority talaga ang tahanan. Dahil yan ang panawagan niya. 1 Timothy 5.14, she should bear children and manage the home. Proverbs 14.1, it speaks of womanly wisdom, builds the house. So talagang nasa house building yung wisdom ng woman, kaya priority. But kung tingnan mo yung Proverbs 31 about the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31.10 and following, yung virtuous woman doon ay magandang pamamalakad niya sa kanyang tahanan, pero meron pa rin siyang career. Sabi, she works in the gate. Alam niyo yung gate sa panahon niyo noon. Pag sinabing gate, tumutukoy yan sa administration. Parang sa UP, malapit sa gate yung administration. Ay parang ganun yung panahon noon. Kaya pag sinabing nasa gate siya, it meant that she was involved in the administration of the city. So that was the virtuous woman, very much involved sa ibang bagay sa labas ng home, pero priority pa rin ang home. Kayong mga mag-aasawa ay siyempre andun yung decision na gagawin ninyo. Decision na are you able to prioritize the home? At isa pa, mga dalaga, dalaginding, dalagita, isang itatanong nyo, makapagpapasakop ba ako sa lalaking ito? Him? Well, you have to answer that question. Are you able to submit to this person? Is he able to lead me? So that's a question that's very fundamental sa mga kababaihan. Huwag nyo lang itanong, type ko ba siya? May trabaho ba? One very fundamental thing is, can he lead me? Other questions? Other thoughts? Maela?
Isang ginagawa namin ni Glenn sa panahon ngayon na malapit ang election is sa discussion namin kasama yung mga bata. In fact, one time si Mikaya at si Liwai sinama namin sa anong tawag doon? Rally ba yun? Pumunta si Forum rather. Sa Sigibo, pumunta siya sa Trace. So sinama namin yung dalawang bata na tingin namin medyo makakasabay na sila sa usapan, sa discussion. And of course, yung dalawa namang batang sumunod, excited, ba't hindi sila kasama? So nakikipakinig sila kasama sa usapan after nung Forum. So one time, nagdo-drive naman ako, kasama ko yata si Patricia. Hindi ko naman pinapansin yung mga billboards sa daan. Sabi niya, Mama, ano yun? Ano, binasa niya Tagalog. Sorry, hindi ko maalala ulit yung pangalan. Ang paliwanag ko sa kanya, ano yan? Party list. Pinaliwanag ko sa kanya yung party list. But by the sound of the name, hindi kasi ako masyadong aware sa mga party list na napakarami. Sabi ko, ang ipaglalaban daw nila dyan ay yung mga rights ng mga kababaihan. And then, pinaliwanag ko rin na may mga problema din sa ganyan. Ginagamit lang nilang pangalan yon. Pero actually, marami silang ginagawang mali. So, yun lang. Merong party list na para daw sa mga babae for information. And pangalawa, Pastor, si Elisa naman nagtanong sa akin minsan. Ang sabi niya, Mama, bakit si Jesus, something like this, si Jesus ay nagkaroon ba siya na, in love ba siya? Siguro dahil naman nandyan yung Valentine atmosphere. Tapos tinatry niyang mag-isip tungkol sa Panginoon. Pinagsasama niya, Mama, na-in love ba si Jesus? Yun ang tanong niya sa akin. Baka gusto niyo rin sagutin, Pastor.
Well, una, kumusta si Gibo? Galing talaga at talino. Was Jesus in love? Well, love in the sense ng commitment niya to the good of those who sinabi niya, I came to do the Father's will. And the Father's will was that He gave to Christ. And of those whom He has given me, I should lose nothing. So pagdating sa ganyanin ay yun ang kanyang object of love. The people whom God has given to Him. Now on the other hand, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, that He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So was there an emotional temptation? Yes. It was all temptations without sin. So physical, emotional temptations were present in the life of Jesus, but He never succumbed to any of these temptations. And that's the only way for His sympathy to be real to us. Kasi merong mga nagtuturo na baliwalaan sa Panginoon, I don't take that view. My view is that temptations were real to Jesus, including physical, emotional temptations, but He never sinned.
Thought lang ko sa tanong kanina niya regarding sa mga babae kasi ngayon, di ba nag-aaral, they want to have a career. Paano pa nag-asawa na. Said ko lang yung real life example namin mag-asawa. Kasi actually, yung wife ko, si Mayan, tinalikuran niya napakagandang opportunity sa kanya. She's blessed, broadcaster, she worked in PAL, Philippine Airlines, everything. So the thing there is, but she understood her role nung mag-asawa kami. Actually, before kami mag-asawa, alam niya na yung magiging role niya. And ako, as a husband, alam ko yung role ko that I have to really be the breadwinner and work hard for my family. And alam niya, na sinabi ko, you take care of the family, take care of the kids, you take care of the household, I'll take care of the finances, everything. So, very clear yon. And that's what I've said, it doesn't happen, kahit sa maraming Kristiyano, hindi nila kagad maintindihan yon. Kahit alam mo na nasa Biblia yan, hindi ganun kadali. But kailangan mo talaga ng biyaya ng Panginoon dun sa pareho, sa akin at sa asawa ko na alam na dapat yung roles. And by God's grace, until right now, even at this point, like nag-agree kami sa pagdisiplina ng mga bata. So the thing there is very clear, gaya ng sinasabi nga ni Pastor, yung roles. You know? Maraming mga kababaihan ngayon, like sa company ko, career women, very powerful, maraming pera. It's very tough giving up all these things, you know. But kung maintindihan ng Kristiyano kung ano talaga yung role niya, yung kababaihan, I think God is so gracious, I believe, na aayusin niya yun. Na ako, hindi ko na pinoproblema yung sa mga anak ko. Ano, bahala na asawa ko dyan. But it doesn't mean labas na ako doon. At the end of the day, I make the final decision sa bahay, but in agreement ng asawa. And alam niya yung role niya. Again, at also at the same time, hindi ko kiniklip yung freedom niya. Kung gusto mo mag-work, if you want to have sideline, just tell me, sige lang. So, iniintindi ko kasi yung needs niya rin eh. So, yun lang.
Okay, thank you, Ike. At, so, magandang clear yung roles ng man and woman, pero roles that should not mean, bahala ka sa role mo, bahala ako sa role ko. Kundi, these are roles which are cooperative and complementary in nature. At for some, as I've said, it would entail for them to give up their career to really prioritize the home, and especially if the home is well provided, there will be no reason to pursue a career. On the other hand, some women will need to pursue a career in order to properly complement the role of the man as breadwinner, and sa mga ganung bagay, I personally will not be inflexible na dahil mag-aasawa ka, hindi ka na dapat magtrabaho. My principle is that home is priority. For some women, they should give up their career to make that so. For other women, their having a career is a complement to providing for the home, as long as the home is the priority. Last point. The last thought. Jean.
Giving way to others. Wala na. But anyway, Pastor, the reason why we are single, we were not able to answer your question. Could we submit to this? No, it was a joke. It was meant as a joke. Di nyo naman kaagad na pick up. But anyway, kidding aside, Pastor, that's not the point. But I wanted to mention dun for us who are in the research and in the academy, kasi I'm always pushed dun sa situation na we will be doing gender study. And then, ang gusto talaga nila ipalabas na yung oppression ng women. But I continue to resist that. And I tried to use my own theoretical and research frame to show na men and women are actually partners in accomplishing their everyday lives. Because I believe that is what is biblical. So I don't know for those young ladies here or young future researchers here, you will be pushed sa ganung situation, and yung paniniwala natin na tayo ay create ng God na equal ay ano, pwede pa rin natin gamitin as a theoretical frame.
Okay, thank you, Jean. And it's a good thing if you can use yung iyong paniniwala in the field of research and not other technical vocations. If not, then in the ordinary day-to-day affairs of life, ando na mga opportunities to live the way a woman, a Christian woman, should live, whether manatili kang single, because no one could satisfy yung question, can he lead me? So you remain single by choice or no choice. But the point is, yung sinabi ni Elizabeth Elliot, say, let me be a woman. If you can be a woman as married, fine. You can be a woman as single. The best thing is be a woman that the Lord will use, and the Lord will continue to expand His kingdom through you. Pero ang wag nating ang gaghayaan mangyari ay magpaapi ng dahil lang sa tayo ay nasa larangan ng kababaihan. But on the other hand, wag tayong maghulog doon sa kabila na hindi nakilalanin ang pinag-iba ng Panginoon. So let's have the balance of both. Let's close in prayer. Maraming salamat, Panginoon, sa mga halimbawa na nakita namin kay Pandita Ramabay at gayon din kay Elizabeth Elliot na kinasangkapan mo para sa pagtataguyod ng interes ng mga kababaihan, si Ramabay upang ipaglaban ang kapantayan ng mga kababaihan sa India sa motibo ng kalayaang tinanggap niya mula kay Jesucristo. At naway manatili rin ito sa amin na patuloy naming ipaglaban ang kapantayan ng mga kababaihan sa lipunan. Gayun naman ay makita rin naman namin kay Elizabeth Elliot ang babaeng pinaglaban, ang kapantayan ng mga kababaihan, ngunit ang nananatiling kaibahan ng mga kababaihan. And so we pray that we will continue to pursue that biblical teaching on womanhood, that she may be a true, virtuous woman who will be used in your kingdom and in affirmative influence of others. We give you thanks for the Lord Jesus, who has given us that marvelous example of one who was a counterculture in the time that he spent here on earth, in reaching out to women, respecting their individuality and their instrumentality. And may we be able to exercise the same in our lives today. We thank you for Jesus' compassion, and help us, Lord, to exercise the same compassion in our day. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.